Welcome back, everyone, to the end of Dead Men Roll No Crits, the podcast about the podcast, recorded in part while we're still recording the podcast still. This is Patrick, and joining me in the hot seat of Who Wants to Be a Pirate Booty Billionaire is the roguish soul of the show, Rebecca. Hello, Rebecca.
Hello.
How you doing?
Doing okay.
Rebecca, this is the first Pathfinder AP that you have completed, and it is one of the longest ones, perhaps. I guess could be one of the longest ones. It's definitely the longest story that we've done together over the years, as this is like twice as long as the longest Starfinder AP that we've done.
It's crazy. I mean, it is 2024 now, and we started this in 2020. That's a long time to be playing, and that's week to week, you know, I mean, for the most part. So
yeah, we had some little side adventures here and there, but 4 full years of Patreon content and freebie captain content. Yeah, so I guess, was it worth it 4 years later? How are you feeling about fantasy adventuring, I guess, as opposed to the many years of Starfindering, now that we're about done with this entire AP?
I mean, to be honest, it's more my style. Oh. I'm not a big sci-fi person, so I much prefer Pathfinder personally, but that's partly just because I like the fantasy
better. If we play Starfinder 2nd edition, you could just be a time-displaced wizard, because the classes are supposedly kind of interchangeable. You can be.
I seriously might do something like that. I mean, it's kind of taking a play out of Jabert's book, I guess, with season 5 of Cosmic Crit. But
yeah. When he told me, you know, because of what I had planned for season 5 of Cosmic Crit, when he told me that character concept, I was like, oh, you'll fit in just fine on this planet. Don't you worry, because it very much is Space Kingmaker, which is also a very long Pathfinder 1st edition AP, basically as long as you want it to be. Right, so this is one of many post-podcast discussions we're having. We're doing another series of solo episodes with the players, which is this one, and then we're going to have a whole bunch of reminiscing amongst all the crew and some other fun discussion episodes. But this episode, I think, we'll be coming after a couple others. I've already done it with Tyler and Jabert. I've prepared 10 questions for you to solo answer, Rebecca. And then, yeah, once we're done with this episode, we'll have some of those episodes where you'll talk with everyone and interview me and all that good stuff. But are you ready for 10 hot seat questions?
I hope so.
I gave them to you ahead of time, so you better. I know, and
they're kind of complicated questions.
I think it's complicated as they can be. Question the first: compare and contrast your 2 player characters. Who did you like to play more? Whose character did you like more? A team or B team? We're talking about Alair Stelkaren or Sharga. I don't know their last name.
I don't think they have a last name.
Is their last name just Sharga? Of the Just Sharga clan? Sharga, Just Sharga.
I don't think they need a last name. I think Sharga is good enough.
Oh, they're on the level of Prince, Madonna.
Okay, or Madonna, sure. Yeah.
Sure. Fair.
I really enjoy both of these characters for very different reasons. They're entirely different play styles. Well, maybe not entirely. I mean, they're both melee, but that's about where the similarities end, I think. I mean, of course, Alaris is what I started this campaign with, and really, I think she sort of set the tone for the story for me personally. I mean, so of course, I still have a very soft spot for Alaris, and I do enjoy playing with Alaris, but I think typically I find Sharga to be more fun, but that's just because I like bashing things.
I will say, I mean, but I think tons of magic classes fit really well into the pirate theme, but rogue fits super well and barbarian fits just fine, you know?
Yeah.
I think we talked about when we started the podcast how it would be weird to be a knight or a champion kind of character with like full plate armor in this setting. That's like one of the few things where like you probably shouldn't do that, but like if you want to, go right ahead. But yeah, I was happy and talking about, I think, Jabert. I don't remember whose idea it was for a full B team of characters, but I think it came out of us having a just a backup character in case someone died, and it turned into its own thing. But it is hard for me now not to want to do that in every podcast that we do.
Seriously, it's game. So much fun as a player too, because I felt like it kept things fresh. I mean, we were just talking about how this was a 4-year long campaign, right? But mm-hmm. having the option to, you know, switch to a different character occasionally, or I don't know, it definitely kept things interesting, and it made a lot of sense in the context of a pirate themed campaign, yeah. because we had a ship full of pirates. Why wouldn't yeah. some of them be player characters, you know?
You get more crew, you get more characters. Makes sense yeah. to me. Question the second. Well, did you have a favorite character, favorite moment for either character in the story or adventure? What was your favorite thing you can remember happening to them?
I think I wrote this down as a separate answer, but I'm going to give one for Sharga and one for Alaris. The things that stick out in my mind, I'm sure that I'm forgetting key moments, but the things that stick out in my mind for each of those characters is, for Alaris, it's the regatta and taking over the ship when whatever happened to Cassius, did he get knocked out or something?
Exactly what happened, but he was incapacitated.
Yeah, Alaris like saving the day. It was very satisfying. I felt like it was kind of a capstone moment for that character. And then for Sharga, very similarly, that first Black Dragon encounter was really exciting. Mm-hmm. Of course, the second one was too, but the first one coming across the Black Dragon, because I just was not expecting it, and it seemed to, I don't know, it was very exciting for me to have such a clear, you know, this is something that my character, it's like the one motivation my character had when mm-hmm. I created that character, and for that to come to fruition in the campaign was very exciting. And especially for, I think Sharga actually like got the killing blow on it, and it was all very, very exciting for me.
Sure. I feel like Sharga got the killing blow on a lot of stuff though. So
yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, batting average, but still.
Yeah, I think that Tyler answered that question too. the final nat 20 on the Hurricane King. He's like, oh yeah, really? I was like, did that feel good to you, Tyler? no joke. Question three, did your characters, do they have happy ending? You know, up to where we've seen them thus far or after the adventure, do they have a good time awaiting them?
I think so. Well, after the episode, The solo episode with Alaris and her being saddled.
Yeah.
Her being saddled with the Isle of Empty Eyes. I don't know. Maybe she mm-hmm. has fun in the future. I sure hope that she finds some fun along with the responsibility of taking care of an island and a city. But Sharga, I feel like, really finished her mission in, you know, defeating that other Black Dragon. Like I say, she's kind of a, you know, one note character, I suppose. That's part of why I love her. But
well, I kind of told all of you guys to like not have a crazy backstory for the B team, because I was like, I don't know if like we're ever going to really dive into them like that deep. Because,
and look where we are now.
Yeah. Well, there's a reason why typically you don't GM tables of 8 different characters. It's because it's a lot of characters.
It is.
As I say that, I have like multiple games of like 6+ characters in Pathfinder Second Edition that I'm trying to keep in my head. But yeah.
No, I mean, like, as far as like after the adventure is concerned for Sharga, I feel like she's going to continue following Cassius and, you know, protecting him at all costs. But to some degree, like her personal mission, if you will, has been fulfilled by defeating a Black Dragon and really finding some sense of vengeance for her former crew, and is now just dedicating all of her time to her new crew, you know, headed up by Cassius. But I don't know if that makes her ending happy. I don't know what happens from here. It kind of depends on what kinds of shenanigans she gets up to with Cassius, I suppose.
Gotcha. Question number 4. Everybody on 4. What were your favorite moments as a player in the campaign? It doesn't have to be actually playing. I guess just what were your favorite moments as playing on the podcast? Do you have a favorite goof or gaffe or a thing that happened?
Gosh, I'm trying to remember.
Only 4 years to comb through in the old archives.
Oh, the climbing boars still crack me up. Every time that we see boars, I still think about the climbing boars.
I think I mentioned them in Tyler's wrap-up solo episode. I think I brought it
made
back.
An impression.
Yeah, it's very silly. Seth is the one that really was incredulous. But it's like, how are they up on this cliff? They don't have the manual dexterity.
That's a good point.
I didn't write the adventure. leave me alone. Question five, did the idea that you had in your mind when you created the characters, do you think it came to fruition? Did you see Alaris becoming a captain, an admiral, a lord in her own right over the course of this adventure, at least from where we started, which was being press ganged onto the Wormwood?
I mean, to be honest with you, I don't think Alaris or Rebecca entered this campaign with a 5-year plan for us. Mm-hmm. So no, I'm not sure that I would say that I saw her becoming a captain or admiral. I think it made sense in the context of the campaign, especially given how, I mean, arguably similar Cassius and Alaris are in class. I mean, the Swashbuckler and Rogue have a lot of similarities in the way that they approach combat, at least, and even skills to some extent. The two of them had a good amount in common, which is part of why I appreciated having Sharga, because she was a lot more of a foil to, you know, Cassius's strengths, and Alaris just had a lot in common. So there wasn't a lot of friends there.
Yeah, I enjoyed mixing up the parties a good deal, and I think that did make for some fun combats together.
I will say, when I created Alaris, and Uncle Olivier obviously being a very big part of her backstory, the Uncle Olivier I had in my head was not the Uncle Olivier that we met in the campaign.
Oh, yeah.
It was, yeah, the way that I imagined him was, and I still in my head see him as, I don't know how to explain this, in my head he is sort of formidable. I see him at, you know, Draco Malfoy's like father in Harry Potter. That's how I envision Uncle Olivier. Not mean, mind you, but like, you know, that kind of formidable presence and like.
Well, that's how, you know, he is when he's not around you. He's a very stern pirate, but then when he gets around his niece, he's like, "Hey, it's me, Uncle Olivier."
He was a little goofy and at times, and that's not how I saw him in my head, but it's cool.
Yeah, I forget. Did we make, is he full elf or is he also?
He is full elf, and okay. Because he is the brother of Alaris's mom, who is full elf.
Yes, that makes sense.
And the merchant father is human.
Makes sense. Question the six. Oh my gosh, thank you for going so much faster through these entire day. What was your favorite book or chapter, if you want to narrow it down even further? Six books.
Yeah, I have no idea where books and chapters started and ended in this campaign.
I can give you a refresher, if you'd like. Book one was the Wormwood Mutiny, and that led you to mutinying against Plug and taking over a ship for your guys' self. Book two was Raiders of the Fever Sea, where you squibbed the ship and then took it looking for pirates' booty and fought some Sahugin. Book three, Tempest Rising, is you're making a name for yourself as a pirate crew and become a free captain and go to the Free Captain's Regatta, where you raced. And book four, Isle of Empty Eyes, is like 50 something episodes of you fighting on the island, fighting cyclops and dinosaurs. Book five, Price of Infamy, was taking on the tasks of Tessa Fairwind to rout out the spy and take down Barnabas Harrigan. And of course, book six, From Hell's Heart, taking on the Chellist Imperial Navy and then killing the Hurricane King. That's the last 4 years of our life together playing this game. Favorite book or favorite part of a book?
If I had to choose a book. It's probably three. I will say I did not enjoy the book about the book four you said about the Isle of Empty Eyes.
It was my favorite.
Everyone forever. I felt like we were never, I felt like we were imprisoned on this island forever.
It was literally a quarter of the entire podcast. I need to be stopped. I need to. Well, I was like, oh man, they've been adventuring on the high seas so long. They're going to love this super long exploration / dungeon crawl book as much as I did. No, they did not.
I will say, when I was looking at these questions before knowing what the books were or what the chapters were for that matter, because I don't know what you added or what was in the adventure, I really enjoyed the Black Tower. I thought the Black Tower was really exciting. It was very mysterious. There were like new things to discover around every corner. It felt a little like being in an escape room. It was, I thought it was fun.
Yeah. So that was in book five. And that is honestly one of my favorite parts of the podcast is when you went off as captain of the Spider Silk and had your own little adventures. And then Cassius went on to try and make a bigger name for himself and did I think the crew's mixed up a few times, but it did the Green Blood on Black Rock, which was not in the AP. It was something I added, and did the Black Tower, and you went to Dagon's Gullet and things like that. That was a lot of fun for me, and that did remind me a lot of the early adventuring in books two and three, where you're just sailing around and having different chapters or like different adventures in different ports.
Yeah, good, it was fun
stuff. But I got sick of it, and I was like, now we're just on the island for 50 episodes. Question seven, you've already answered. What was your least favorite part of the adventure? If it's the entirety of book four, that is fine. But
No. I did write down, I think, and this was hard for me to pin down, but the thing that really stuck out to me was when the rats infested the kitchen and we all got poisoned, because it felt like there was no way out. It was like there was nothing we could have done to prevent it. There was nothing we could do to get out of it. It was just like, we're just screwed.
Yeah, good times. Good times.
I know that's how things go sometimes, but it was also very frustrating in the moment. So
yeah, trying to build some of the mysteries like that. It's like, all right, well, if they don't specifically say that they're like taking over parts of this, then it's like, I mean, you wouldn't have like a perception check to check the produce coming in to the kitchen. That part of the adventure assumes that the majority of the kind of the party pooping that the eel did on the island goes through. But for the most part, because we spent so much time there, that is why Laris won her seat on the council the way she did, because you guys really did impress the members that came and judged the Isle of Empty Eyes. Not that I was like forcing you to do all this stuff, but you made some good decisions, and the end part of that book is like based on how well you do and how, if you can stop the eel, there's like four different tiers of like, you know, critical success, a regular success, regular failure, and then like an abysmal failure, which we'll talk about. We're going to do a what if episode, like what if you failed to impress the pirate council, or what if you did not succeed at the free captain's regatta, you know. But yes, I can understand there are several parts of book four that were really, for me, poisoning people, one of my favorite things to do. Question number eight, if you were going to do the entire campaign over again, or if you were playing it with someone else, would you change up characters, or what kind of new characters would you have liked to have tried in this campaign? I guess knowing what you know now, or maybe not, if you wanted to just change up characters.
No, I mean, I still think that Alaris being a rogue makes a lot of sense for a pirate campaign. I don't know. It seems to fit very well, and I think it would be weird to not have a rogue. I mean, like I say, we did have a swashbuckler, I guess, in Cassius, and that's very rogue like, but still different. I don't know.
It is its own thing.
I don't know. I still feel like a rogue makes a lot of sense for a pirate campaign, but I was very happy to have Sharga, and she made for a very good bodyguard. I don't know. I really enjoyed these two characters. I think that they were, I'm happy with the way that I built them, and I'm happy with the way that they fit into, you know, the the overall crew of the Tidebreaker and the cadre of characters that we had.
A gun to your head, Rebecca, you had to play a magic user in this campaign. Which magic using class are you going for?
Honestly, I don't know enough about because I don't play them. The correct
answer is Bard. I'm so sad that no one did Bard. Well, we had our C team Bard member in Grendel, I believe, but I wanted someone to play a Bard. Keep getting all these crazy martial and spellcasters.
I'm scared to play a Bard because then you have to like sing or rhyme or something. You're going to make a Bard do weird stuff.
All you have to do is learn to play the kalimba or the recorder, and then you're out of singing. You don't have to sing. You just have to do like a little Charlie and the Chocolate Factory when Willy Wonka played for the Oompa Loop is just doodly doodly doot.
I mean, boom. Even with Sharga, I went so far as to very quickly pick up Intimidating Glare so that I didn't even have to speak to intimidate people. I could just stare at them.
Decision. Question 9. Do you have any advice for listeners that want to make pirate PCs or similar characters or are going to start Skull and Shackles themselves?
I'm going to repeat probably advice that I've given before many a time, especially after we started Cosmic Crit. Season 5, I think that making a well-rounded group is really important. I think that is particularly important when you're talking about a pirate crew that is supposed to be taking care of a ship. I mean, you've got
you guys well-rounded?
Jobs to be done. I don't know if we were super well-rounded. I think
not until B-Team came along.
Not until B-Team, but I think B-Team is a testament to this in some ways because it you know, we all, I don't know that we necessarily had this conversation, but I think we all recognized, you know, where we had maybe gaps in the crew or gaps in our skill sets and maybe tried to fill those somewhat with the B team characters. Anyway, I just think it's really important when you're, if it's an option for you to talk to your fellow players and make sure that you're all, you know, aligned on where you have skills, where you have different sort of combat styles, and ideally a party would balance those things out. Maybe that's metagaming to some extent, but if it makes it more fun, then I think it's worthwhile.
No, that's why I like to do session zeros or have extensive convos with players, because it's also not just about like your class and background, but also kind of like the goals that you want your character to achieve. You know, it'd be weird if both you and Tyler wanted to become the pirate king, for example, pirate queen. It'd be fun because it'd be a much more exciting vote at the end. But
yeah, I think it's interesting. Even if you and your fellow players have different motivations for your characters, you know, bringing those to the surface could possibly make for some opportunities to not pit people against each other, but, you know, see where those different motivations maybe clash or conflict or are simply different from each other, and perhaps an opportunity for characters to have a conversation or a difference of opinion, or you know, all of that leads to storytelling, right?
Yeah, it get me so excited because in a couple weeks from when we're recording this, I'm having friends over to my house for a session zero for a campaign I'm very excited about doing with them. And I'm excited to, because we're going to have a whole bunch more like class options by the time we do that, and ancestries to play around with. And I like having that conversation about like, oh, I kind of want to be the melee. I want to be the party face and so on and so forth. Okay. Well, that brings us to towards the end here. Question 10 is just if you have any final thoughts on yourself as player, how you've progressed over 4 years, or your characters, or the campaign itself, or the podcast. Anything comes to mind, the floor is yours to pontificate pirate-wise as far as final thoughts on Dead Men Roll No Crits.
Yeah, I mean, I think what I wrote down is that hindsight is always 2020. We also started this in 2020. Oh. But I wish that I had a clearer motivation for Alaris. I think that's something that I repeatedly don't do well when I'm creating characters, is really define what is driving them. I think that I had that pretty well defined for why she would leave home, but I didn't have that well defined for what her driving motivation would be after that, I guess. Mm-hmm. Besides just, you know, vague adventure seeking or something. But I don't think that I really had a clear ambition. I mean, going back to the 5-year plan comment that I had earlier, like, I didn't have a, you know, real sense of what I wanted her to ultimately, you know, strive for, I guess.
I understand completely. Yeah.
Yeah. And not that it's easy to know that when you're starting a campaign, but I think that it's really important, if you can, define a motivation, even if it's really simplistic motivation, because then you always have that to lean back on in those moments that you're asked to RP, or, mm-hmm. you know, how would your character respond to the situation? You can always go back to that basic, like, what is that driving force that I've defined for my character? I feel like I had that a lot more with Sharga, but that also goes back to, you know, Sharga was a very simple, very, you know, cut and dry. This is the one thing that keeps her motivated, but that also makes it easier to, you know, bring that to life in some ways. I think, at least for me, the more complicated a backstory I give my character, the more I get confused in those moments of like, well, which part of my character do I want to lean on in this moment? But if they're simpler, then I think it gives possibly, at least in my experience, a little more opportunity for the campaign itself or the story itself to shape that character instead of leaning entirely on backstory.
You know, you say that, I don't think you necessarily have to kind of pick end goals, but I feel like looking at all the characters, Alaris is probably the one that had the most kind of like growth or character arc, because Cassius started pirate, ended pirate, you know, and Gandoso, I guess him and Honto both leaned into pirates, but you've gone from like not pirate at all to becoming a quintessential pirate over the course of just a few years. So to me, like, looking back at the campaign, I think it's good that at least for a little bit, there was some blank slate action for Alaris.
Yeah.
Sharga, on the other hand, very much understood a lot of motivations there. And, you know, like I said, the beak team characters weren't made for like super in-depth backstories, but to be fun foibles to other PCs. All right, so that's gonna do it. Quick post podcast episode here. We have a whole bunch of these more to go, and they will be gumming up the Patreon feed for a while. And yeah, we have zero plans to do more Pathfinder Second Edition anytime soon. But do you want to play more Pathfinder Second Edition in general, Rebecca? Do you wish we had done this instead of Starfinder many years ago?
I am. Well, Pathfinder Second Edition didn't exist when we started Cosmic Crit, but I love Pathfinder Second Edition, and I'm really, really looking forward to Starfinder Second Edition because of that as well. I love the three action economy, and I mean, as I think I've already said, I really enjoy the fantasy setting myself, so I like playing Pathfinder. I definitely want to play more in the future.
But when we started this podcast, I was not sold completely on Pathfinder Second Edition because there just wasn't as much content. I mean, it's one of the reasons I wanted to do a conversion of a first edition AP that we loved, because I think like the two APs they had out, or the 6-part APs, did not interest me as much. Now they have like a ton of 3-book APs that are all super interesting. So now there's like too many choices of like what I want to do. But
no pirates? They got to write some pirates.
Still no pirates. Yeah. No, they announced some at Gen Con this year for the future, and so many intersea adventures, so many kind of classic fantasy settings and things that I'm super excited about. I do want to play eventually, but like there's one 3-part adventure that's all dwarf centered, and there's another one about all the orc tribes, and so that they're getting like a little more focused with some of their 3 parts. But yeah, I'm not that we're definitely going to play the next pirate adventure, but I will probably want to at some point if they come out with a 3-part pirate AP in second edition. But yeah, we'll have a lot of other stuff on the Patreon feed for years probably before we get back to doing some other stuff. That's gonna do it for this episode, but like I said, we have a lot of other episodes post Dead Men Roll No Crits, what I'm calling the end of Dead Men Roll No Crits, where we're gonna talk, you and I, with Tyler and Jabert and Seth some more about gaming over all these years. We'll look back at these episodes. Thank you, Rebecca, for being with me this week.
Thank you, Patrick.
That's gonna do it for this post-podcast episode. Thank you for listening, everyone, and we'll catch you on next week's episode. So long.
Yar.
Yahar.